December the 9th, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com. And you will be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. So Muhammad addressed religion issues that deviated. So this helps us to understand what was given before. You see, the prophets come to address major issues in religion that came before and had gotten off track. To correct the perception, did you know from Genesis to Revelation, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, that these are great books? These perfect books, if you understand what I'm saying, oh, the Bible is not perfect. And a lot of what you got out of the Quran is not perfect either. Your perception is not right. But if you have the right perception, you will see the correct language. And reading in the Bible is perfect. Not all of it, but you will find the perfect language in the Bible. If your heart is right and you have the intelligence and the support of God, oh yes, you can find it in the Bible. So Muhammad found it in the Bible. Oh, he didn't read the Bible. That is what you think. He did not follow the Bible. He did not know the Bible. The Bible was accessible. If it was not accessible, why did they say to Ali, his cousin, who had a Bible? Now, this is in established hadiths, he says. Ali, what's wrong with the Quran that I brought? I think he only wanted to caution his cousin. Ali, may God be pleased with him, with Ali. Radhi Allahu Anhu. That is the traditional saying, meaning, may Allah be pleased with him. That is all. The prophet knew Ali was not going to convert to the Bible, Christianity, or Judaism, but he just wanted to caution him. All of us need to be cautioned when we pick up the Bible, because it is very, very stubborn and powerful as a deception, as well as pure guidance. So getting back to the scene of the beginning of mankind in Adam, the Satan knew that he had to give the human being a new perception from himself if he was going to gain what he reverted to gain or wanted to gain. And this is complete authority in the life of the human society. That is what he wants. That is what he aspires for. I didn't continue it, but perception is the major theme in Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, from Al-Fatiha to Al-Nas, the last chapter of the Quran. Perception, certain visions. Every eye shall see him. So quickly referring on the great issues of perception, in the Bible it says, and every eye shall see him. And the Bible talks about light and darkness, the world receiving light and then coming under darkness. And it ends with the whole world becoming light. That's how Revelation ends, with the whole world is becoming light. Everything from everywhere, there was light. It started on the throne, but it went out and filled the whole earth. And the whole earth was filled with light. So light is for eyes. The whole book is for perception. It is to grow the right perception in human beings, especially in the leaders, so that the world of man would be established in the best way. Perception, isn't that what you go to school for? To improve your perception of things? Isn't that why you went to college, to improve your perception of things? Yes. Education improves our perception. Better our perception. And when our perception is better, the life is better. You just feel so much better. So I'm sure the garden was not a dark place. I think it was a very bright, well-lit place, lit with the best of light. Deception, every eye shall see him. Why should it be said, every eye shall see him? Isn't it enough to have our leaders see? No. God has put it in the very nature of every human being to want to see clearly, to want to understand. So you are burdened when you have a whole lot of knowledge and you do not understand it. That's a big burden. You are burdened when you hear a whole lot of preaching and you understand but a very little. That leaves you burdened. That's a big burden. Allah didn't create you to carry that burden forever. He created you to grow in intelligence, to grow in perception, so the burden would be light. The balanced community. The balanced community. Now, I have to make some notes as I go. To the Satan had a plan, didn't he? Now, when you read in the Quran where it says, and the plan and Allah plan, and Allah is the best of planners. Don't just hear that and say that's right. And you are thinking in a little focus, a little small, unimportant situation. No. When you read that, be aware of the greatest deceiver, Satan himself. Himself. And Satan, and that he is the one who started everybody else to planning in a way to make trouble. And Allah is the best of planners. It means Allah is going to overcome Satan's plan. And when he overcomes Satan's plan, the rest of them are gone away with automatically. So Mr. Farad, I sure like his courage and great wit. He said, can the devil fool a Muslim? Answer, not nowadays. So that day just arrived. Those days he was foreseen. They have arrived. But most of what we perceive has been influenced by the Satan himself. So here is the big problem. Our perception of the universe has been changed. What we perceive is mostly influenced by the Satan himself, even the way we read scripture. But after all, this was a man that God himself created and that God himself communicated to, and the Satan is talking to him to change his perception. So he is even influencing him so that when he hears the word of God, Satan says, oh no, he didn't mean it that way. You should know how God meant that, so you can be free to do great things and raise up and rise up, even with the God. Now we know all of them are false except one. Again, I like Mr. Farad Witt. He told the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, God means power and force. Now we know that it is not correct, and God is much more than power and force, but that is what he wanted the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to see. Then he told or led the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to believe that the black man, the God, I guess this is what he was doing. He was checking that black man by giving him a definition for God in the new language of David D. Farad in the Nation of Islam, hinting, the God I'm giving you is not the Most High, not the perfect, pure, and just one. The God I'm giving you is power and force. Yes, that is what I'm doing, and that is my nature. Ever since I was a boy, that was my nature, not to preach so much, but to teach. Quran, Bible, designed to help man on all levels. Along with his strategy, his word grows. The more he progresses, his plan and strategies, the more his world develops and grows. Now, the Bible says this. To save a lot of time, I'm not going to go and quote everything. You will get it later, inshallah. To save a lot of time, I'm just going straight to the point. But I'm telling you, the Bible and Quran, both books have it. If it is a major issue, it is in both books. Bible is a book of knowledge to achieve world dominance. So the Bible is designed to serve mankind on all levels, just as the Quran is designed to serve mankind on all levels. The people who are uneducated, the Quran and the Bible is designed to serve them. You read them, they serve you. You do not have to be educated. But the more your intelligence is developed and informed correctly, the more you get out of these books. That's natural. So what I'm giving you now, you should write it, my students, please. The Bible is a book of knowledge for educating the brightest minds and the most ambitious souls in the knowledge of how to achieve a dominance in the world or on this earth. That is what it is all about. I'm sure most of you know what dominance is. Satan is a mindset. The dominance means you are in position to control everything. Everything is under your authority. Now, who wants that? Satan, Shaitan. He is the number one villain, the number one criminal. He wants that more than anybody, more than anything. He wants that more than anything. And don't think of him as a person. He is not a he is no person. He is a mindset. And he can be communicated to any person. That person who accepts that communication and starts to live by it and under it, that person becomes Satan. So now that this has been done, you can't look in the Genesis or in the garden only for Satan. Satan, no. You have to look in the whole world because that is what he aspired to do. Get the whole world. And you have to look at the highest places. That means you have to also look firstly in religion. Because that is where he started. he started to change the way of God wanted us to see and perceive right religion. Now, would you believe people who perceive themselves to be angels, being human, that perceive themselves to be angels, held high this thing, that they worked to keep it hidden so they could get the benefit? Because they have knowledge of what is going on, so they could get the benefit of the existence of this thing, and it rules over life for people, for themselves, and they are not really Satan. Man fell from his noble position to material interests. Now remember, who was leading the angels before God interrupted it? It was Iblis, a jinn, who had transformed himself an angel and was leading the angels in heaven. I'm giving you Quran, the word of God. And he caused a disruption in the heavens. And the man that God was making in heaven had to be rejected and sent down to earth. Now don't think of the sky up there and coming down here. No, think of high principles, high indecent aspirations, pure intentions, etc. Think of that excellent of the soul, and now there has come an interruption, a disruption in that heaven that I just explained to you, a disruption in the heavens that made man fall from his noble position to material interests. That's coming down to earth, to material interests. And the Satan seduced him and brought him to fall. And the Satan was also in the garden. He was there as the leader of the angels. And God cast him down, rejected him, all of them, plus the man and his mates who was affected, had to be cast down. And they were cast down. Let's go back to perception. The problem is in your five senses and in your deeds. So when the Satan confuses their perception and had them by his perception of reality, that is what started everything. That is what brought them all to fall. And the word from our prophet, communicated to our prophet by the Lord, creator of the heavens and the earth, is kubad, gets you down into the earth. Kubad. Kubad means all together, but it suggests like a fit. So where is the problem? In your five senses and in your deeds. Because this hand has five fingers. And this is what I act with. And it started with high deeds, not welding like I used to do. It started with writing. The hand that writes is over the welder and the establishment of the world. That is what I'm talking about. The welder is small. He is way down here. So it started with writing. That is where the problem starts. Your five senses and your hand that write. And as Allah says in the Quran, they write it and say, this is from God. Okay, you want to dominate? Get down into the material earth. And it is going to eventually bury you, you greedy Satan. So to get man to go wrong, the Satan, in the beginning of the Genesis, invites him to look at the material world and see how great he can become if he thinks freely and not be hindered in this thinking by his fear of God. Look at the possibility that you have, man, to explore this material world and become very powerful, very productive, and living forever. I'm giving you a wisdom, and your rule will be everlasting. It will not be for just one season. I'm going to give you an idea for a rule that will survive all seasons. That was his suggestion to Adam. That means to us, to people back then, and now and for all time. Okay. So I think this is enough for that scene. You see, we're going from scene to scene. Now, we are on the dominant. I didn't forget the topic now. The topic is where we are getting, where we are going, pardon me, Ummata Wasata, the balanced community. In the Bible, this language for education, or for educating the special, an ambitious intellect on how to establish a dominant is given in many places in Scripture. But I'm going to share this one with you. In the Bible, the difficulty that a certain element amongst the Jews were having. Mind you, how I put that, a certain element amongst the Jews. Never think that Jews are a bad people. Jews are a good people, but they have been misguided themselves by an element amongst them. They have become loyal to an element that they do not know is the devil himself, Satan himself. I was happy to learn here recently that the world Jewry, world Jews, do not accept Zionism. They don't accept it. And they condemn Israel, taking the position that God gave them that land. Now, this is world Jewry. It is on the web. You can find it on the web. You students who are serious about following my mishap or my school, you should get on the web and find it and see what they are saying. They say that there is no support for the establishment of Israel in the Torah. And they say that there is no support for Zionism in the Torah. That's the majority of the Jews. Quran never condemned all Jews and Christians. And the Quran never condemned all Jews. The Quran says most of them. The Quran does not condemn all Christians. Allah in the Quran says most of them. And we know that to be real right now. But Allah says that there was a party amongst them who believe in God and believe in promoting fair dealings amongst the people. And he says, let there be of you a party, a group, doing the same, exact same thing that Allah, with his words, credit the Jews and the Christians for having a special group amongst them who are committed and loyal to obedience to God and establishing the right way for man on this planet Earth, Jews and Christians. Then he tells us, you be a people. He's saying, believe in God and promoting fair dealings amongst the people. Islahan bananas. Islahan bananas. That the Quranic word in Arabic. So your mother was a Hittite, your father an Amorite. So we have changed the scene. The scene is still on dominance, achieving the dominant. So this reference in the Bible that I want to share with you, that I saw, God bless me to see, is about the crooked plan that the bad elements amongst the Jews wanted to advance. Give this to the world because it is in the Bible. The Bible is not for Jews. The Bible is for all people who want to follow it. It is given to the world. And it is so clear, clever. Most of us will never get it. Only God's mercy will help us get it. These are the Jews. Now, talking to the Jews to make the Jews aware of their heritage in the best and the most powerful way. It says of the Jews, your mother was a Hittite and your father an Amorite. Now, I want to caution you, when you research what I gave you, I am sure that there is no source to give you all that I gave you. You can't find anything out there that will give you all that I gave you. God has blessed me. Special insight. I'm not exaggerating, and I want no attention for myself. Amorite is really a play on Abraham. Hittite were a people who were mighty. They were very powerful, materially. And obviously, if they were very powerful materially, they had great sciences, great wisdom. But what we should know most importantly about them is that they were all about achieving a dominance, defeating all other nations. The Hittites, they became very mighty, very powerful. And the Amorite is a play on, really, on Abraham. The Amorites were the people who were compassionate, loving, caring about the individual person in society, and trying to bring their people of their era to be a family people, caring about each other, loving each other. The Amorites, you can hear a hint of the word amor, which in Spanish and Italian also means love. So the strategy is to have the leader be Hittite like, and the community be Amorite like. Can you see that today, presently? You have a Hittite and a people Amorite. Love America is supposed to be a people of love, but the rule may be Hittite. This is reality. As a prayer is the middle prayer. So the balanced community, do not forget what the topic is, the balanced community, Ummata Wasata. And there is a prayer that is called by that term also, the midday prayer. And the same word is given for it, Suratu Wasata. That is the Asa prayer, some think it is the noon prayer, but it is the Asa prayer, because Asa means difficulty. So when you are going downhill, that is the most dangerous part of the mission, to go up the mountain and now come down. Going up is not as dangerous as coming back down, because your tendency is to forget, and you will end up tumbling, falling down, and be killed. You still have to be very cautious, especially if it is a steep mountain. And also refers to an incline that is steep, very difficult. And that's the trail of this world, trials of this world. So when you are facing the trials of this world, it is very difficult. So you are trying to make your life comfortable, right? That is going down to where else will be found after the incline. It is so dangerous and difficult. The temptation is to maybe make some maneuvers that would not be too nice. You might say, Brother Shabazz, you go down ahead of me. And if you see him flip and fall, you know to walk around the area. So the temptation is to something crooked, to sometimes. So you need to keep the balance that Allah wants for us. swastika, a sign for Hittite, of the axis of the universe. What does Allah say concerning those who have a desire for dominance? He says, and who wants to corrupt or to have a dominance. He denies it. I mean, you might achieve it, but it's not approved by God. That means eventually he is going to bring you to judgment and take it away from you. So we want that to be clear before we go further with this. Now, the Hittite, their sign is like the swastika for Hitler and his followers. And what is that swastika? It is a cross. So that Hittite's cross was like a letter Z. And they wanted to achieve a dominant axis. Axis is another cross. So you hear the president and those in the government now, when they are addressing terrorism and problems with the Islamic terrorists or the Muslim terrorists, you hear them speak of the axis of evil. It is not the first time that they use that language. But now trouble for them and the world is bringing them back to use that language. What is an axe? Another cross. So what is this cross? I have committed on the cross before, but now I'm giving you some more comment on the cross. The cross is a symbol of universality. Just as the Hittite sign was a sign of the axis of the universe, the earth, number one. Their sign was that we identify with all that you can perceive with your eyes, the senses, and we are going to conquer it in your mind and dominate the world. That's the Hittite aspiration, and that is what they sought to achieve. And they did achieve a mighty government, a mighty people, a mighty nation, the sciences, and all. Rab is the one who evolves mankind. So because a nation is advanced in science does not mean it has to be right. That small element is what all of us are suffering from. And that is what all of us have to make struggle, jihad against. But you can't go directly at them. As I said, it is an ideology. And whoever is behind the ideology comes under the mindset and becomes one of the devils. It is plainly given in Surah chapter 114 of the Holy Quran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul atu the Rabbin Nas. Say, I seek refuge with the Lord, mankind. Lord of mankind means the one responsible for the advancement over a long history of human beings and society. He is the one responsible for that. The Lord of mankind who evolved you and brought you to your best development until you achieve the growth and the better conditions that you have now. God is responsible for that. That is what Allah is saying when he says Lord. It is not the English word Lord. It's the Quranic word for Lord, Rab. Rab comes from the word meaning to raise children, to take them from birth when they are delivered from the womb, and then raise them. Now, man has nothing to do with caring for us. Well, science does, but it can happen without man and science. There are few causes where we need the help of the hospital, clinics, science, and etc. for the mother who is pregnant. Most mothers, they know how to care for themselves while they are pregnant. And the baby is delivered, and no man, human, got into that work. So Allah created us in the womb, or in bodies of our mothers. He created us. He created and still creates us in the womb of our mothers, in the body of our mothers. But where did the child come out? It has to be cared for, because it can't manage for itself. It is totally dependent, right? So we take credit for raising the child, saying, oh, I did my best. And sometimes your best is wonderful. And people say, oh, you have such beautiful and wonderful children. Well, the same care and development that the mother has for her child that God formed in her and delivered after 9 months, normally, Allah has that for humanity, all people, for all of his dependents. And his dependents are all living. All the life in creation are the depending on the God, Allah, the creator. So Allah, when he says he is Lord, that is what he is saying, that I am responsible for you advancing on this earth. Without my help, you could not have done it. So he is Lord of all the worlds. And the Lord for the worlds comes from a word meaning to know. It does not suggest material things. It suggests a process for perception, a process for the intellect, a process for knowledge. Don't we say the world of science and the world of science? That is what Allah wants us to come to, understand, the coming knowledge that we could not make the moon, the sun, the stars, galaxies out there. The common knowledge is where we should stop. But Allah wants us to come home to the bright light in that revelation to see that he is addressing the process of knowledge, science, education, in the life history of all humanity. As without him, without an idea or a perception of a cause behind this universe, bringing it all to be and seeking to know what it is and finding its consistency, its unity in terms of the logic that holds all the universe, all matter together. If you had not arrived at that, you would not have been able to develop your science and progress as you have progressed on this planet Earth. Tawheed, one God created, is one logic. So the arriving at the monotheistic idea of God is what made all these possible. And you don't find any people in any of the nations that didn't grow with the monotheistic idea of ruling and dominating things now. It is only those who embrace that monotheistic idea that explains to you that you should understand as Tawheed in its complete meaning and picture form. Wahid, that means oneness. So the idea of oneness in Islam starts with one cause or one factor bringing all of it about, God the Creator. Plainly speaking, it starts with God the Creator. Then it goes to his creation. And then we accept and witness that his creation is one. Consistent logic holding the whole thing together. Then we progress from that premise to man's life and say, yes, that man is one life and should be one family and one community. And that Nasu, ummatan, wahidatan. All people were once one community in the beginning with Adam. If we perceive it, that means we were all subject to our nature. We all had the same makeup in our body and in our mind. It starts with, we were once one people. And they did not differ until knowledge came to them. And then one boasted in his little knowledge that he was able to grab, hear, and understand. And they started separating. So the black man, he didn't even see any knowledge. He was just affected by knowledge. And he started separating. Imam Muhammad, he brought us to the Quran and the Sunnah. In other words, his job is through. As far as I am concerned, his leadership, as far as I am concerned, is finished. He brought us to the Quran and the Sunnah. But now, brother, I'm going my way. Well, that's the way life is. You have to accept it and keep striving. Because if you take up too much time with that brother, he'll hold you back. Our time is too precious. We don't want to do nothing to him except say salam. We don't want to do anything to him except say salam. We don't have the time to say assalam. If you are confronted or happen to encounter, the ignorant people say to them, peace. You don't have time to say assalamu alaikum. No, say salam and keep going. On the cross now is a symbol of signs of the universality. Universality in what? Universality in the pursuit of correct perception. Universality for the mind, the intellect, that wants to know and wants to search and wants to create and build. Universality for the sciences. Universality for the thinker, the philosopher, for the scientists. Universality for the people who want to improve upon human society. You heard the expression double cross. So this is what Satan did to us. Allah made our nature to be in the right balance. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, Kul ammatu fastikin. Kul ammatu fastikin. Say, I have believed, and thereafter be upright. So the balance that God created us, or God created in our nature, for us is upright, and actually every human being evolved to stand up erect. And all you have to do is raise your arms on a level with your shoulders and you form a cross. So the cross also is a sign of the uprightness, the balance that Allah created us for. And obviously the Satan, wanted to deprive man of that balance in his nature. It was lost when he refused God's plan for human beings, because Satan was cast down and told to do what? Bite the dust. Crawl on your belly. That's where your problem is, in your stomach. So what you're going after is going to pull you down upon your stomach, and you're going to have to crawl on your stomach. Your stomach will become your legs. Serpent skin is his means of transportation. And another thing strange about that creature called serpent, he has no legs. And he moves so spookily around on the ground. He will spook you up. He just moves so easily and swiftly with no feet, no leg, is out of skin, is also his means for transporting him. Yes, I don't want to take up too much time with this thing. I want to stay on the course. But that is food for thought. He is silent, and he moves in a very spooky way. And I don't care whether you are a tough man or not. Women, right away, they accept that they are afraid of snakes. But some of these macho brothers, they want to pretend they are not afraid of anything. But if you wake up at night or in the daytime, man, and you see one of those big snakes moving around, buddy, you are going to be frozen. Cross is a sign of the original state that Allah made the soul to be in. So the cross is a symbol of great advancement. The original state that Allah made the soul to be in. But it is also a symbol of great advancement in the world. That you have achieved balance. Now the science that now the ancient also designed the scale that you weigh things in to be a likeness or a symbol for the natural balance that should be in human beings. They designed a scale with a vertical rod, like a little small pipe and board, and they suspended a chain or a rope from it and two cups or two pieces to hold a weight. They still have these scales around, and you can find them somewhere. In fact, I don't think there is any scale older than that. It is the oldest of scales. So you know how much one weight is that you have? That is maybe 1 pound or 5 pounds or a different pound weight. So you put the known pound weight pieces on the side, and then you put what the person is buying on the other side. So if they are buying navy beans, then you put enough navy beans on the other side to balance the weight. So once you balance it, then it is accurate. If it was a 1/4 pound or 2 pounds pieces on the other side, when you balance it, you have 1/4 or 2 pounds of whatever is on the other side balanced, so that that's the old scale. So Adam is not flesh, but soul. Let me repeat that. Adam is not flesh, but soul. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, in the Bible, is a man after Adam. He is called the second Adam in Christian theology. And the Bible established that. It says, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and it is going on to connect person in his past who were supposed to be related to him or he descended from. It goes all the way back, meaning different persons in the history. And lastly, it says, an Adam who was created by God. So his family line or genealogy goes back to Adam. And they ask, and they take it back to Adam to say that his father was Adam, and Adam was not born of male or female. Adam was created by God. Adam is soul. So therefore, if you understand, brothers, students, his father was not male because Adam is both male and female, and Adam is not flesh. Meant Adam is soul. So he created this genealogy back to Adam. And it says Adam was created by God, meaning that whatever happened in between his no real importance in Jesus' life. It was not those in between who produced Jesus. It was the right, correct, perfect soul that produced Jesus. The soul that Allah himself created for all human beings. So Jesus is a symbol of the cross of balance. So he is himself a symbol, himself of the cross, isn't he? So in his perfect balance, soul and nature, he is the cross, a universal symbol or a sign that communicates great insight. Then they took him and put him on a cross. And they fixed him on a cross so that he had no mobility. They stopped him from having any mobility. The cross that Allah puts us on is mobile. It is flexible. It can come out of the balance to do its work while spiritually obeying the balance through physical, the movement, or out of balance. But they are coming from a spirituality that is still in the perfect balance. So his deeds are balanced. His works are just, honorable, because he is respecting the check on his nature that is eternal. So he can perform all of these. All of those activities are formed from the core that is formed from the balance. So the actions are good. The deeds are good. The works are good. Everything is good that comes from him, because he's coming from his correct balance in the nature. So don't have to have a physical picture. Understand the spiritual picture. Now I know where I'm going. Be patient, like I am. Jesus is also a sign of this great knowledge, this great science for achieving a dominance. So they made him a sign holding their secrets from achieving a dominance. And that is why we don't accept the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They never killed him, nor crucified him. But it was made to appear that way. People perceived that bit, that, but it didn't happen. That's how they perceived it, but it didn't happen. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. So we are talking about the balance now. It is said of Jesus Christ, because he had this upright nature just as God gave it to him, to the world, in the first man, Adam, before he was deceived. He is the model figure now, a sign to the world of how man is to achieve the perfect government, or the perfect rule for mankind. And it says in these words, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Shoulders are balanced. The government shall be upon his shoulders. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Yes, he will be able to counsel government, not talking about people only, mainly government. He will be able to counsel government, give them the best advice, help them solve their problems that are in the way of their progress, etc. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. So when we read in the Quran that God has given us a balanced community, that is an answer to that problem in the Bible, that the government shall be upon his shoulder. That is the wonderful community that Allah gives us in the Quran, Ummatan Wasata. There is a hadith that says, goes like this: Jesus Christ is coming back, And he is coming back with a mighty sword. He is going to swing it. And it is going to be so big that he is going to swing it. And it is going to reach everybody on the planet Earth. And it is going to slay the wicked and break the cross. Break the cross. And Prophet Muhammad said, do not break the cross. This is what we are told his followers. And when you would fight in a war, he cautioned them, don't destroy the sacred things of the Christians. And he said, according to the Hadith, the report, do not break a cross. So break the cross means break the code and get the secret. Now, how do we understand this Hadith that certain religious groups in Islam make a big deal of? How are we to understand that the cross is going to be broken? He broke the code and got the secret. That is the way it is going to be broken. You break the code and bring out the secret. So you are not going to church and break those sacred emblems and things they have in there. There is no Christ Jesus coming back with a sword long enough to go all over the planet Earth, slay the wicked, and break crosses and stuff like that. It was in my genetic life when I was a minister. Don't let me spook you up now. I am a rational man. So when I was a minister for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in Philadelphia, he had just sent me there. I wanted some flyers put out, and I had not heard this hadith about the cross being broken. But I knew subsequently, subconsciously, I guess that cross was a problem. So I decided myself, and I could always write and draw. I designed a cross and gave the brother and said, go and have leaflets put out like this. I designed a cross that was leaning, like the cross in the story about the black man who had compassion on Jesus when they were taking him to the place where they were going to crucify him on the cross. And they were making him carry his own big heavy cross, big heavy thing. And this black man in the crowd got so touched and pained by the suffering of Jesus, he ran and got under the cross. This is the story. And he helped Jesus carry the cross to the place where they were going to crucify him on. And at that time, I was not thinking of that because it had been since. Then I saw a movie where this black man came and he supported the cross so Jesus would not have to have too much of a burden on him. So I had it like that. The cross was leaning just like I had fallen over, and I had it broken. So the vertical piece was broken, but still being held together by a little bit of the wood. But it was open at an angle like that. So there were jagged edges showing it had been broken. I did that as a young minister. And now in this life of many over 70 years old, God has shown me the real cross and the real meaning of breaking a cross. Praise be to Allah. And the kingdom shall be upon his shoulder. Man wants to achieve the ideal government. And he wants the government to be capable or compatible with human creation, of human nature. So the side of the human as the balance is communicating or broadcasting that knowledge that this government is going to be compatible with the natural urge in the human life. And it shall be supported by the natural design by creating in the human life. That is what is going to support it. It is going to be balanced upon that. So when Allah says to us, it is the religion of origin for human life. It is Adam's design, the natural man, nature and design. It is the religion of origin, the one upon which he patterned all human society. All human society. A pattern on this original pattern God put in the life of the individual person. Now, when we read our government language, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. All men have the same creation as created by God. That's what it is saying. As created by God, we are all the same, equally equipped for what we have to do on this earth. At birth, that's what it is saying. So we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by, or before it didn't say creator, they added that later, very recently. It just said endowed with certain inalienable rights. Among these rights that you can talk about, that you can't take away. No government has the power to take this away. Liberty means the right to develop your mind. This comes with human creation. Government has not the right or the power to take it away. And among these, life, liberty, life means the right to live, the right to live, to have a life. Liberty means the right to develop your mind and have progress for your life. And the pursuit of happiness is to own property. So this is how they interpreted it. So this is how they established for that language to be interpreted. In the Constitution of our United States, the judge and whoever are going to be acting as authority with Constitution, they ought to have these understandings. Fitura or Fatira means he originated. Well, the same thing is said to us. Dino Fitra, Lati, Faturin, Nasia, Aleha. Dean al Fitru, Lati, Faturin, Nasia, Aleha, the religion of the origin, nature of the religion of the original design and pattern, the one upon God, upon one upon which God formed all nations or all people, originated, not just formed. The Fitra means originated. The Fitra means the original pattern. Fitra means he originated it. He formed for the first time society upon that original pattern. That is the only way man has evolved. He has evolved upon the best of his nature, has used the intelligence that he had as it has been created or given to him in his original life by nature. And he has respected the best of that life, the excellence of his own life and development world because of his respect for the design in his nature, the best design in his nature. Come back to that innocent, pure life. So that is how man formed the world from society. And we have signs and symbols or signs and wisdom in Jesus Christ and in the cross and the crucifixion. And we have clear language in the Quran. So to have this beautiful world that our souls hunger for and search for, we have to be connected with the best of our creation, of our design as humans that Allah, our Creator, gave us. So we have to come back to that innocent, pure life that has no bad motives, no bad intentions. So the world went wrong when Adam went wrong. In the Bible, it says the father has to be brought back and connected to the children, and the children with the father, reconciled. If it doesn't happen, the whole earth is going to be lit with a curse. So this is what the Bible says. Now, I don't know how a preacher would commit or comment on that to his congregation. He might think that the Father is God. He might say the Father is Jesus Christ, that we have to accept Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And God, he might say that, though he is the Son, not the Father. But it is simple, as plain as day. The world went wrong when Adam went wrong. And Adam is a universal type, representing the common life that God wants for all of us, that we take an interest in this creation, because he charged Adam with being a caretaker. There was no house like we understand them. There was no building, streets, and cities like we understand them. So what was he to be a caretaker of? What was he being held responsible for? The natural environment. So he created man firstly to be right, responsible in the natural environment, responsible to the Creator in the natural environment. God said, whatever is in the sky, I made to come down and yield its benefit to you. And whatever is in the earth, I made to yield its benefit to you. To you, all people. So that is the Adam that we have to be reconciled with. If not all of us are going to be cursed down here on this earth, you have to come back and get the mind of the first man, get the heart of the first man, male and female. You have to come together in the posture and in that position as a caretaker, custodian, khalifa, responsible for the environment, to your wife, responsible to your children, responsible to your community. You are supposed to be a developer. Allah put Adam in the world to be a developer, and that is how he became the one qualified to teach even the angels the language, even their own name. And even in this day and time we are living in, the developers are still more Adams than anybody else. So that preacher is not Adam. The typical preacher is no Adam. After the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, get some of this good earth, and said, take responsibility for your community and build things. Those preachers now are trying to build homes, and they are doing a lot of good works, but they didn't do it. They didn't do that before. So now they are becoming little Adams, little developers, and that's good. I like that, and we like that. So Muhammad was taken up into the heavens. Well, we are about to close this out. So it says they have to be reconciled with their father, Muhammad, was taken up into the heavens and on the ascent, the night travel, the first level. he witnessed as he was rising in the ascent of the human soul was the level upon which he greeted Adam. He said, "Pray, peace be unto you, my father Adam." And he was taken up into the second level. There were seven levels he was taken through. One of the second levels that saw there was Jesus Christ, John the Baptist. I'm saying it in the language of the church. He saw Jesus, Isaac, and John, Yahya. He said to them, "Peace be unto you, my brother Jesus and my brother John." And then he was taken up to a third level, and he witnessed Joseph, Yusuf, in the Quran. And he greeted him likewise, "My brother." But on the first level, he said, "My father, Adam." Then, and on the second level, he said, "My brother," to John and Jesus, Yahya and Isaac. And then he went to the third level, and it was his brother Joseph, Yusuf, he said, "My brother, Joseph." And he went to the fourth level, and he greeted him, "My brother, Idris." Then he went to the fifth level, and there he witnessed Aaron, the brother of Moses. And he greeted him, "Peace be upon you, my brother Aaron." And on the sixth level, there he witnessed Moses, who was higher than Aaron, of course. And he greeted Moses, "Peace be unto you, my brother Moses." And he finally arrived at the seventh level. There he was Abraham, Ibrahim. And he said, "Peace be unto you, my father Abraham," or Ibrahim. From there he was taken on to travel. So it was an ascent. This vertical, isn't it? He went straight up from where? He went straight up from the Kaaba, from the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, into the heavens. So the vertical mustaqim is the path of uprightness. The development of the soul is in virtuous purity and high principles, etc. So this is the ascent. Then he traveled the horizon. Now you tell me, that isn't it a cross? If the ascent is vertical and the travel is horizontal, you have a cross. So see how the mysteries are addressed in so many ways to educate the blessed ones. Praise be to Allah. So the horizontal is an important relationship that man has with man. Family has with family, industry has with industry, community has with community. That is the horizontal. So he was taken to the place that was the symbol of the glorious time for the Jews, the Jerusalem where there was the kingdom of Solomon, and the ruins are still there. When they go to the Wailing Wall, they are weeping on what is left of the great kingdom. What are they weeping for? We lost his enemies, conquered us, not the Muslims. Before the Muslims, it was the Romans. Really, the Muslims did not want to conquer them. The Muslims never wanted to conquer them. The Muslims just wanted to have their rights like they wanted to have their rights. Medina established after the ascent and the night travel. Allah took him to the great peak of excellence in the life of those people symbolized as the government under Solomon and the wise, upon him be peace. And you know what happened later, almost right away? He decided to go to Medina and answer the invitation of the people of Medina. And with the experience and knowledge that Allah gave him in that ascent and that travel, night visit, he was prepared to go and establish the first Muslim world in Medina. It was a world he was to establish. So he went to Medina. We say government, but it was a world. It was a new world. He went there to Medina, and he became the leader for the establishment of the Ummah, the new world of Islam. Jesus, Muhammad, excellent from their original nature. So he had it first to be in the excellent that Allah created for all of us when he created Adam. Muhammad was in that excellence. Jesus and Muhammad are to be seen together. He said there will come a time when the world will see them together. Jesus Christ and himself. He, Prophet Muhammad, said that. Peace be upon him. So we are to see them together. Most importantly, in the Jesus Christ did not get his human excellence from the environment that he was born in and lived in. He got his human excellence from his own original nature. That man is not to be given credit for because it came directly from his original nature, kept by him, preserved for him, and communicated to him by his creator God, Most High. Yes, and the same is for Muhammad. Although Muhammad had a mother and a father. Muhammad had a mother and a father, but in actuality, it had little importance in his coming up because his father died before he was born, and his mother died when he was yet a child. That would be like his first year of elementary school, so he did not have parents and is more like Adam, isn't he? He had no mother and no father to take over his life and care for him like Adam. Adam had neither father nor mother. Adam Christ and Christ Jesus did not have a father, which is perfectly understandable. Allah doesn't reveal things to man that he can't understand. You just have to grow in knowledge and experience so you will be able to design what is not for children, but is for adults. So Jesus is a sign of where man is to take his life. So in the closing of this session, we come back to the individual Christ Jesus as a prototype for all people and as a sign. He is a type serving as a sign, pointing to where man should take his life and live on this earth to establish it and have a great society. And Muhammad is actually the human guide, guiding his followers to that. Allah says that he evolved, is the kingdom or the throne, the rule over people. He called the rule of a people to come to whomsoever he pleased. He reveals, he resolves it, meaning it is not going to stay with any one people always. His covenant will not stay with any one people always. And the rule of a society that he approves of will not come to any one people and stay with them always. No, it revolves. It goes from one to the other. But if you understand this word in Arabic, it does not suggest revolving at all, but the natural order of creation and development that Allah inspired when it is lost. To come back, it is like a revolving. But what is it revolving? Around the earth or around the geographicals of the earth. Yes, it does that. But it might back come, but yes, it does that, but it might back up that way. That way, it might come eastward or westward to Africa, and it might go back to other ways through Asia or some people in Asia. So we can't see it that way. You can't see the revolving in that way. It revolves from the original man back to the original man. It starts with the original man and it goes from him to the philosopher, to the nation builder, the commercial order. And that is what has the throne right now in America, the commercial order that have the rule. So it revolves. But where did it come from? How did it get started? It started from the original man, from his original nature and his purpose on this earth to develop matter, to develop earth, a land, etc., in accordance with God's will and imprinted on his very nature. God's will is imprinted upon his very nature, upon his very biological flesh, etc., constitution. God has inscribed it inside him, and it manages to one day come to his conscience, and he begins to progress on this planet Earth. So that is how God evolved it. What is the word? The word is taken from the Arabic word meaning encounter, to meet this world with Shaitan designs on it separates us from our own originality. And we take up different pursuits that God intended for us, because that is inscribed in us too. It is called sublimeness, Allah, that he designed for man's nature, enlightenment and productivity. So they are all inscribed upon his nature, so man is going to pursue these sciences, etc. These are the paths of Creator, the path of God for him. And these paths sometimes causes us to separate and get lost from each other, loses the central purpose. And we have to come back to it. And those who come back to it, they come back to the fullness of life for mankind on this planet Earth, community life. And when they are blessed to come back to the original nature, the original pattern, and man's creation, then they light the whole world. So these separate possessions cannot light the whole world. But if you come back to your universality, which is your original nature, you can light the whole world. Son of man is son of man. Keep repair and rejuvenate the light. So when that happens, it is though the sun was absent in the life of the people. And the sun comes and makes the whole light, the whole land bright. And the sun is so compassionate now. Why is it talking about the sun? You are supposed to understand, if you're my student, the sun is the compassionate, that it goes away so that the people can have good night rest. And as one says, I repair. I go to repair. It means go to sleep, and sleeping repairs the life, rejuvenates the life. So it gets you ready for another sunrise. And the sun says, okay, I have given you time to get the benefit of night. Now get up. It is sajda. I'm coming now to be up before I make my presence. Isn't it wonderful? When you read in the scripture, the Son of Man, it should be spelled S-U-N-S-O-N. Is for us in this common language. But in the real language and the knowledge, it should be S-U-N. And that is the way it was to begin with, and they stopped writing it like that and started writing S-O-N, Son of Man. Both are correct. So we descended from the first man, and we are the son of man. But more importantly, the scriptural understanding and enlightenment, we are the S-U-N of man. And it is a natural light. It is part of the creation of man. It is in the creation of man, so he was created to be an illuminated body to rise up out of his gross matter, illuminated. The world of man, as Allah says, and he made the day for activity so man can get busy about his work. And Jesus Christ said, I have to be about my Father's work. Universe created for Muhammad, the type of all mankind. Well, that concludes our session. So don't underestimate the human creation, and don't underestimate what God has said of human creation. Don't play down your own creation. Hear what God says about your excellence and power and excellence of creation. And if you can just stick with this one statement, Allah created this universe. The philosopher, the pious one in Islam, among scholars said, he created the universe for Muhammad. But Muhammad is in this one, Wallace also. Muhammad is the type that addresses Wallace and all of us. So Allah created it for Muhammad, yes. He created it for the excellence that we are to understand for the human model. In Muhammad's life and his demonstration of that excellence. But that's supposed to be in me too. It is inherent in me too. And if Muhammad is a model for me, he is a guide to guide me to my excellence, called Uswa Hasana, to my model of excellence. All of us don't achieve equally like all the prophets are not equal in mission and achievement. They start with Adam and they go up to Abraham. And Muhammad comes and he combines, reconciles all of them together. And then he comes and applies the light of the seven. He is the light. He is the eighth, pardon me. And he comes with the light of the seven and applies it as God intended for it to be applied in the life of man on earth. And all of that is in me, and all of that is in you. Allah says there are seven tracks above and like seven in you. And the wise Saudi Arabian rulers, they would say, we have to come to 14, meaning you have to complete all, fulfill the purpose for your creation in your small seven that you have down here on the earth. And you have to ascend in the enlightenment, in the knowledge, in the light, the level that are seven firm, seven strong tracks. And in the Bible, it is called firmament. Firm means strong, doesn't it? In the Quran, seven strong tracks. In the Bible, you just get the picture of 11. You just get the picture of elevation. But in the Quran, you get the picture, and that on every elevation, there is something, a word evolving, revolving, rotating. By we around the Kaaba means orient yourself by the original nature. So that gives us the real picture of the true order of the heavens and stars, moons, earth, and all. But it is addressing the soul of man that you have to have a center for your government, a whole and whole you all going to different directions, vertical, horizontal. You have to hold to your core, your center, and do not get away from it. So you revolve around it. So everything has a center for keeping the light. preserving the life. We should be holding it. The Kaaba is a symbol. We go there and we make tawir, going left to right, left to get back where we came from, the nature that God created. Not the one in your consciousness, but the original nature. Keep orienting yourself by the original nature, going to the left. Prayer of the two persons. The one on the right side leads. And you know when there are only one person praying, which one leads the one on the left or the one on the right, the one on the left. That means if you do not know where you are going, you had better not lead using your own senses and thoughts. Rely upon your original nature, because the third is your purpose, the one who stands in the front of you is your purpose. And the imam is supposed to know where you are going. I hope he does. Praise be to Allah. So Juma is for education. And we cannot form Juma with two. You have to have at least three. So the Juma is for education. It is for the enlightenment. The one who leads us supposed to recite the Quran in the original. There is all of that we need to establish ourselves on this planet Earth and be very successful, marvelously successful, and that is what I see in our future. So we are really not feeling too happy to say goodbye to you. I like the expression, all goodbye are not gone. So I am going to leave you now and greet you. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. I prepare to stay here until Asr time, but we are finished, so I'm leaving. I don't know if you are aware of that. However, I did say all goodbyes are not gone. So you all take care. Have a blessed Ramadan. Salakallahu ladin. Surely Allah speaks the truth. We went over this evening because we were trying to complete this so that we can move on tomorrow on a new chapter. So we thank, I am your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. And we thank New Africa Excellent Mirad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us. And I don't like to take too much time, but we wanted to complete this evening, and we will start tomorrow on Tafsir of Imam Waqidi Muhammad. As I greet you in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you, and once again, thank you for listening.